But because of the staff and distance, we did not collect the quality information. But from our few staff observations, the quality of fruit and vegetables very it's not that good compared to supermarket. So. Right. Yeah, we're working with the food store managers and then helping them to improve the facilities for stocking fruit and vegetables, and so hopefully it happened.
In a project that was described on Monday morning in the South Bronx, they were working with the small stores to help them to bring in, I don't know if anybody else attended this one, at 8:30 on Monday morning. But it was the issue was, how do you get the fruits and vegetables into the convenience stores in the South Bronx? And it wasn't the Navajo Nation. You know, it's a little, one would think it's a little bit easier, but it was hard to, it was also New Orleans. I guess it was New Orleans, the corner stores. And they were willing to do it during the project, the one-year project, because they got free advertising. And then when the project was over, they stopped because it was too much of a pain to get these little bits of tomatoes or apples or banana, whatever it was. It was just too hard because you have to buy things in large quantities and then they spoil. So you have quite a challenge ahead of you. And
yeah.
What a wonderful project. Did you go all over the Navajo Nation to get this data?
Well, I did not. Actually, I mostly visited the eastern part of around Window Rock and then the Shiprock, but I haven't been to Tuba City in the western part yet because it's such a long distance, and especially when I was traveling during summertime and the weather is so hot.
So that's another problem that's going to have to be, another challenge to face is the weather related to keeping the products safe. And so my guess is that the kinds of things they have there are the kinds of things that don't spoil. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Okay. And our next speaker is Emily Crocius, and Emily has is presenting the project that she did for her master's capstone project. We're congratulating her for doing that. There aren't that many people who actually accomplish that, so that's quite an achievement, Emily. And now she's a doctoral student at Harvard, and we're looking forward to hearing your interesting project. You can just do this to proceed.
Okay. Clearly, I haven't done this before. I'm Emily, and this project was conducted last year for my master's capstone project. And first off, I wanted to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Roni Neff, for helping me make this happen. So essentially what I looked at was how fruit and vegetable consumption varied depending on how whether somebody thought they ate a normative amount of fruits and vegetables affected the level of fruits and vegetable consumption they saw. And just as background, clearly we all know fruits and vegetables are important for health for a variety of reasons. Weight-related chronic disease and cancer. New research is coming out all the time. Clearly, most Americans don't meet the USDA recommended 5 servings a day. The number is closer to 3, and in that number, most of the servings come from juices and potatoes. So clearly, there's a lot of work to be done. And in terms of why people don't eat fruits and vegetables, there's a whole host of ecological reasons, availability, preferences, health literacy. Again, new research comes out all the time. But what I'm interested here is it rational for people to eat less than a nutritionally optimal amount of fruits and vegetables? And surprisingly, it is. People have a whole host of decisions to be made over the course of their day, over the course of their week, their life, and you can't expect every individual to make the most optimal decision at all times, incorporating all available information. So that given that you're not going to be able to integrate all information at all times, behaving in a socially normative way is rational in the long run. Because over the course, in the long run, eventually preferences and habits will migrate to what's optimal, or else, you know, people get sick, they die, etc. The problem with this strategy, even though it's long-run optimal for the population, is that in the short run, there's stickiness in behaviors, and the short-run behaviors might be harmful for the individual. So while it's good for the population, it might be bad for you. Another issue that's of central importance to my research is, what if the perceptions of normality are actually off? So you think you're doing what's optimal, but you actually aren't. So you have the short-run harm, and you're not actually behaving optimally. So anyway, what I did is I did a cross-sectional study of some shoppers in a Philadelphia shopping mall, and they completed a 24-hour recall of their fruits and vegetables and answered some questions about their perceived normality of fruit and vegetable consumption. And this is just a sample question. They're asked for four different reference categories, the categories being most Americans, adult peers, adult family, and adult friends, whether they thought they ate more, less, or about the same than the certain reference group. And this is what we found overall was that those people who thought they ate a normative amount actually ate the least fruits and vegetables for all categories except for comparing themselves to their adult family members. They either ate the least by statistically significant amount, or they were insignificantly different from those who thought they ate less. So I show this in a more easily readable form and graphs. So just when the reference group is most Americans, again in the middle, those who thought they ate same ate the least, and that's a statistically significant difference. Peers, it's they're insignificantly different from those who thought they ate less. When the reference group is friends, again, the same category is the least. And then adult family is the one anomaly, which I'll actually discuss, but you see the sort of night, like what you'd expect to be the trend with those who ate the least, thinking they ate the least, etc. Some speculation on why this might be the case is family is where you have a more concrete frame of reference. You actually see, you know, your husband not dishing himself out peas, and you see your grandmother having the apples as snacks. You have actually real points of comparison, as opposed to more abstract, most Americans, friends, peers, where you can make subjective judgments or choose to think about it or not think about it. So that was, I thought, an interesting aspect to the results. So just to discuss this, you know, those who thought they ate a normative amount don't eat a normative amount at all. In fact, they eat among the least. Important for this, too, is that normal isn't good. So there's obviously a ways to go. So as for why this might happen, those who report they eat that eating a normative amount might be saying more about their cognitive engagement in the process of fruit and vegetable consumption than they are about their actual assessment of their assumption. They might be mindless. They might about fruits and vegetables. And so by saying that they eat a normative amount, they're mostly saying that they don't really think much about fruits and vegetables. And so in terms of where this gets, I think, interesting and somewhat related to the rest of the projects that are being discussed today, is for increasing fruit and vegetable consumption, there are a lot of different groups and people with different attitudes and in terms of like their receptibility to nutrition education. So for any given nutrition education effort, those people who think they eat about a normal amount aren't really engaged in fruits and vegetables and probably aren't that interested in what you're saying and don't have any reason to think that they are vulnerable and need to subscribe to any new information. So some sort of theory on how to impact behavior change for these people is increasing the perceived severity of not eating enough fruits and vegetables or changing perceived norms. Because if these people are basing their consumption on what they think are perceived norms, then maybe changing what people think is a normative behavior is important or useful for increasing their consumption. and obviously some limitations. This was a capstone project. I worked hard to get 100 people to answer my surveys, but you know, clearly this could be strengthened by having more people answer them in the future. Cross-sectional design, obvious limitations, and it would be good to use a more nationally representative sample than people who happen to be in a Philadelphia shopping mall. With the recall, I used 24-hour recall for it, which has its strengths. One large one being convenience. So it would be interesting to do this with a food frequency questionnaire and expand it to just be more representative. So overall, this is one small part of improving the American diet and fruit and vegetable consumption. But assessing normative consumption based on social norms and perceived norms is an important step to improving diet. Thanks.
I think it's a lovely project, and I was curious if the shopping mall that you did this in was the Reading Market.
No, I intentionally had it in a place that wasn't tied to food.
Where was that? You know, is it way out there, like a Navajo Nation? I mean, which suburban area
was it? It was the Plymouth Meeting Shopping Mall, which is sort of mixed income, draws from a wide area.
Yeah, so you had a nice suburb, but there isn't a lot of food options there anymore than a little supermarket.
Or, yeah, that was intentional.
So the issue of availability, I think, is relative to your to your project as well. Question, you had a question over there. Yeah.
Did you also do any question asking the participants if they knew how many fruits and vegetables they were supposed to eat or was recommended?
No, I didn't, actually. I really just wanted to keep it in terms of norms and their perceptions, and that would be definitely interesting to do in future.
Did you have any incentives for the shoppers?
I had a $100 raffle. They could enter to win that. So that was, given my MPH non-budget, that was, but it seemed, people seemed to like raffles, so it worked.
So if they filled out your questionnaire, they got a ticket, and then at the end of it all, you called up the one who won?
Yes.
Did somebody win?
Yes.
Huh?
So.
Any other questions or comments about this interesting one? And is it related to your current research? Are you using any of this in your current research or the project you might do?
Not specifically, but this type of thought.
Understanding social choices, yeah. But the question, when we're the title of this session is challenges. So certainly one challenge is, if it's not there, you can't buy it, you can't eat it. And another one could very well be that what you believe is normative has something to do with what's available.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not there, it's not good, it's less likely for it to be eaten. So we are presented with many challenges in this area, for sure. So thank you very much. Nice paper.